say 1938 because we were affiliated to the 9th Battalion and they were starting a second line, and we thought we would be offered commissions with the second line. We showed our interest and they thought automatically they would be looking for officers and we'd be. But when the time came for the second line of the 9th, they decided to become London Scottish. And we went up to see their signal and had interviews, but we gathered that we weren't what he was looking for, and in fact, when the time came, he was looking around for officers with Scottish connections. In the event, knowing what happened to the London Scottish, their battalion,
What did happen to them? Sorry, if you could just explain.
Well, they hadn't been trained much. They hadn't much kit. They went to France and were just decimated.
So you actually positively saw that war was approaching and were starting to look round for what you were going to do.
Yes.
Where did you get your information from? Did you see it as just Germany as a threat?
What is going to happen to us, and he was working on it. He got us interviews with the University Selection Board in Newcastle, and we two or three times there, and they asked us all the questions.
With what aim?
To the commissions.
Proper commissions?
The Territorial Army commissions. But then, of course, came the order that no more Territorial Army commissions were to be given. It was, they were going to get untrained officers, and that was completely unequivocal, as they thought. They didn't want anybody to walk along with their qualifications and get a TA commission. But they stopped that. And so...
When was that?
So naturally we were wondering, we'd be parading around in officers' uniforms and being seen, and doing this for the last time, parties, and we were getting a bit embarrassed about what would happen to us. We went for other selection boards, and in the end, we had to join as private soldiers.
The Territorial Battalion.
We were selected as potential officers. And
so how did you go about joining? You volunteered, you weren't called up.
Oh no.
Where did you go to volunteer?
Well, in Newcastle. Mark, the way had been paid for us. We went there. I said I wanted to join the Dunamite Infantry. I was given a Dunamite Infantry number. And I think there were seven of us from the cadet battalion.
You all went together?
Yes. And then we got notice that we were to join the East Yorkshire Regiment at Beverley.
Did you object at all?
Well, we said, what is this, you know? We went down my head and said, well, this is where potential officers will get their proper training. And we got a list of things to take, which I don't think it included butterfly nets, but everything else but for potential officers, which was something they dug out from years and years back.
And what date was this, approximately, that you...
This was the... When I joined? 11th November 1939. So we'd been kicking our heels from the start of the war, things in order before we got out. But Laurier was doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and we had these friends at Northern Command, but there wasn't much they could do. And in the end, of course, it was to our advantage that we didn't go with a unit. as an untrained officer.
So, in November, you went to join the East Yorks Regiment at Beverley.
Yes.
And was that just that? Was that their depot? I'm not sure.
That was their depot, Victoria Barracks.
And would there be a battalion based there? Was it the 3rd Battalion, or was it just a depot?
Just they were full of National Service people. And I think this is why they thought this was the best training for us.
In what way? Sorry.
Basic infantry training.
So this was to fill the gaps?
Yes.
And how did you fit in with the National Servicemen? Because you'd had a completely different background, in a sense.
Well, we became known as the Cream. I must tell you, my friend and I, but of course Hugh Wares, who was family business in the town, he hadn't been married long, but we were very close. And we got vouchers for the rail to go there, and we had suitcases full of rugby kit, tennis rackets and hockey sticks, according to this list. And when we got to Beverley and saw all these chaps, red hats, red sashes, bossing people about, all these chaps with their brown paper parcels and so on, we detached ourselves and got a taxi. And from Victoria Barracks, and Victoria Barracks had 2 turret-like things and gates. And we swung through there, and on the left was the guard house. The military policemen were very, very smart and so on. So we got out of the taxi. The military policeman handled our baggage, and we went inside. And the sergeant, again, the red sash, said, "Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just sign your names and addresses." And he did this. He said, "Right now, gentlemen, you'll find the officer's mess just round the corner on the right. I'll have your badge sent there." So at that stage, they said, "We're not officers." And that's the first time I heard so many naughty words strung together. So my friend Wales and I picked up our bags, and outside was a huge sward of turf grass. So we started to go across here, and he said, "I remember you too." And we went back to the ballot box. Anyhow, my friend was a businessman more than I was. He saw a corporal, and he said, "Corporal, look out for these 2 bags, what we call sign in." And he gave him a half crown, so the corporal, of course, well, we never saw the corporal again or the bags for a while. But anyhow, that was our start for the army.
What were the barracks like, the accommodation within them that you had?
Well, the accommodation was really good. What they had done was, of course, blacked out the windows, and the lights weren't very good. And so, for our first meal, there were these trestle tables, and we sat down with other people. Oh, incidentally, I made a good move. When I was waiting in my queue to go down to sign on alphabetically, I saw 2 officers talking to people in the queue. And so I went and said to them, "What's that officer want? What say to him?" And he said, "Oh," he says, "you're pre-rugger." So I went back to these officers. It was a Thursday. And I said, "Good afternoon, sir. You're younger than me, but they're both younger than me." I said, "Well, are you looking for Latin players?" And they said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Oh," they said, "what's your name?" And then I got back in the queue. The next day, we're out on the field, been lined up in our civilian suits, and they came out, this is Friday, said, "You have somebody called Hay?" And the sergeant didn't know what, said, "Yes, sir." Said, "Look at when I looked at orders that night, I was on the team to play against Hull and East Riding. Collect kit at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. All the others were going out, they couldn't go for miles, they were going out for a long walk. So that was my start, and I didn't look back from then.
You were a good enough player by that. I mean, your standard was well up to the Army standard, I presume, if you'd played club rugby. And was it?
It was.
Now, you were telling me about the food, I think.
Yes, so we go into this darkened hall, having retrieved our bags and got them into one of the bag books. And there were tin plates with slices of bread and what was margarine cut into squares, and there was something else cut into squares. Cheese was the meal. And then there were these tin basins, quite large tin basins. And the tea came down. My friend said, "Well, I'm not eating that stuff." Well, he didn't need to, he wasn't hungry, but it's very attractive. I said, "Oh, I'm having a go." So he said, "Look at this tin." And he ran his thumb around there. He said, "It's dirty," and it was. So he called for somebody. You must remember, we were just a civilian. Yeah, we were. Had no authority at all. But I called for this. He said, "This tin's dirty." Of course, he knew procedures. And So he said, get the sergeant to come. So the sergeant came and said, "You're in the army now, lad, and get on." He said, "Oh, that's not good, this is really dirty." So he called the orderly officer. Well, the orderly officer didn't come, but the sergeant took his name, and the orderly officer came later. And it didn't give him a good start off. But it was filthy, this thing, and shouldn't have been. I'm not complaining about just the bread. But after that...
How did you find the food? Did you get used to it?
Oh, I could get used to it, yes. I was fortunate, again, that on the... I played my rugby on the Saturday. There was just one other rank from... from the officer's mess we played, but it was a taxi for us, and we collected the kits, and we were looked after, and there was an officer, who was just Spicer, I remember, who really came on his rugby, and he thanked me for turning out, played in the centre, a good game, and he said, we'll be looking for you again, so I said, "Thank you, sir." And he had a big chat to me, because I was in a better suit than he was. He was in uniform, but I had my snappy suit on. And so he showed some interest, which of course he did. And then, of course, we used to go down the town and have a meeting.
Now, what about things like the bed and the actual barrack room? I mean, what was the bed like as far as you were used to?
Well, it was easy to use fence in the barrack room. Because the procedure was not about any other procedure, but how soon you got your hands on what they call a bumper, which is a heavy object with a long handle for doing an editor course. It had to be passed up now. And unfortunately, I was at the top end, and Wes was far too meticulous with it, my friend. And I said, "You're pulling up the whole barrack room. We can't get on with it." But anyhow, you got used to it, and putting up the blackout boards, you had turns to put up there. But the beds were all right.
How did you... I mean, you said they... Did they really call you the cream in your barrack room?
Yes.
Was that because of this potential officer business?
Well, we were always... First, we were in different squads. And then, of course... We had to be called out for more interviews, people wanted to see us. And there were, in the end, there were 17 of us. There were 7 of us went from the cadet battalion. But in the end, there were 17 of us. And, you know, by the time we got together, the two university halfbacks from Newcastle University, they went together. There was a fellow who played for Northern Ireland rugby. There were two Durham County rugby forwards who I got to know. And there was a bit of something about everybody. But squads would keep getting stopped. So would someone score the one before they consider? So in the end, they put us into one squad. That's when we were called the Queen.
When you were in the main room, the ordinary barrack room, sometimes standing out a bit, having a bit more money, a better suit, I mean, did that cause any trouble with some of the men?
No, but there was one, Joe Sutherland, never forget me, Joe Sutherland, who was a bit of a, we would call him a spirit type, but anyhow, he cottoned on to my friend Wes, who would give him a half crown every now and then. And Sutherland looked after Wales. I mean, all right, Hugh went about it the wrong way, but he wanted to have an easy life. But no, there was no, we got on fine and...
No bullying then?
No, not at all. In fact, he used to come and ask about things. Yes.
What about your actual training? Now, I presume it would start with drill.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to learn in drill, or was there anything? Was it a different speed?
Yes, different speed.
Did you find that? Because you'd march at the DLI pace, hadn't you, as the cadet?
Yes.
Did you find it?
The drill movements were different because you say right, hot, then so you did about three movements without say as the ordinary opener, hot, left turn, stand at ease, so the three movements. Well, when you said hot, you halted. You know, you just got used to it, but it didn't
cause anything. So, did the physical training, there's two forms, PT, was that new to you? Had you or,
yeah.
Or as a rugby player, were you fit?
I was quite fit, but of course they got their pound of flesh out of you, and made you, if you could jump that, you had to jump higher and higher.
Do you think it benefited you?
Oh, yes.
Was there the sidelines like boxing as part of the physical?
Yes, I was in the boxing ring.
How did you do?
Good.
Had you done boxing before?
Yes, when I was in the Boy Scouts. I knew the terms and the this, that, the other. I didn't do it too badly.
Did you enjoy it? Was it?
Didn't enjoy the boxing.
What about route marching?
When I was at school.
So you think that overall it helped you, that made you fitter?
Absolutely. I've never regretted 1 minute I spent as a private soldier.
What about rifle training, to shoot the rifle? I mean, did you have much to learn there?
Well, yes, I had everything to learn. Because, you know, I didn't handle a rifle in the cadets. And, of course, they weren't the entries to start with. So they were... purely for ceremonial.
How did they go about teaching you to shoot at Beverley?
You first of all learned how to learn what the sights were, and then it was either outside you were put onto a rack, I've forgotten what the name of the thing is, where the rifle was there, and then you had to line it up, and then the instructor would come and see that we've got it lined up. This went on a long time, different ones, different. But that was all very easy and well within one's compass if you are interested in doing it. And then ultimately we went to a place called Hornsey Ranges. By this time the snow had come, and we would have thought they wouldn't have done it, but no, we had to lie in the snow, and the whole camp was frozen up, the taps and everything, and the outside was
frozen. Oh, keep with the shooting though, so you lie down and...
Oh yes, lie down and get to it.
What were the tips they gave you about firing a real rifle?
Well, they told you about the kick, and they gave you one or two rounds to fire. But they warned you about and get the kick. And
what do you think was most important about becoming a good shot? Was it just good eyesight or coordination? What do you think was crucial?
Discipline. So, not just a fire thing and waste a bullet.
So you think most people could be made into decent shots if they had the discipline about it?
Oh, yes.
So presumably you were a decent enough shot as well?
Yes.
What about other weapons? Did you do any bayonet fighting in your basic training?
Yes.
How did they go about that?
Well, just the sacks.
And you'd charge them?
Yes.
Did they teach you actual bayonet fighting, you know, the old putting the butt through and... So it was just the bayonet charge.
Yes.
What about hand grenades, Mills bombs?
Well, yes, you have to learn how to throw. I never threw a live one. There were dummies naturally which taught you how to handle, and somebody watched you how far you threw and so on. But then they watched you very carefully, and you know, it wasn't just get on with this, they were telling you why about by the time the hand was sprung off and
What about automatic weapons? Would you have the Bren to train with, or were you still on the Lewis?
No, we were on the Bren. That was new to me.
And how did they go about teaching you that?
You had a squad and you lay down, had to take the things to pieces, get to know it, put it together, and blindfolded it, put it together. So you really got to know the weapon.
So before you fired it, you knew the mechanism inside out?
Yeah,
and what was it like to fire the Bren? Was it an
very nice, yes.
What was so good about it?
Well, you felt the power coming with so little movement.
You found it accurate? Any other weapons that you were introduced to?
Well, it taught us the 2-inch mortar. I can't remember firing 2-inch mortar.
So the theory of it.
Yes.
Did you do any actual tactical exercises of any sort, you know, while you were doing your basic there?
Yes. Well, they took us on to a place called the West Coast at night, where we, there was an objective, and it was just basic crawling about with your weapon and getting your target, which had been a light showing somewhere to say, well, make your way towards that, and then it went and you had to make your way towards this. But you're crawling over that semi-successfully, but you had a good idea, it wasn't too terrific. But they did teach you how to move at night.
What about the principles of fire and movement, supporting fire, things like that? Would you practice?
No, didn't get that there.
Were the exercises realistic at all?
No. Because you were told why you were doing it, get used, that you're not always be standing up or something, and just learn how to move with your right arm, your stomach, and just push the movement in a way to hold it and how to
What about other sidelights of army life, like signalling, driving? Would you be introduced to that, or would people?
No, not at first. After 2 months, we were all given a stripe.
Your little group were. When you were made into a separate squad, you know, the 17 of you, the cream, as you might say, what sort of extra training were you given, or was it just the same?
We were quicker.
You were getting through the course quicker, you mean? So it wasn't.
We've done 2 months with them side by side, but then we'd had all these interviews, we'd all been passed through the first stage of the interviews. Yes, we were likely to make the grade, we were picking up the training all right.
And what were the interviews like?
Very stereotyped. Mostly, what school did you go to?
Did you
almost what school did you go to? And I didn't have a very good school. It didn't sound very good, St. John's Higher Grade. It was a step up from ordinary school. It was a specialist school, but just down the road. But again, then I said, And then I was there. Or so I was in high school, where my brother was, which sounded better. I don't think it did. But they were very keen on what school you went to.
But it didn't hold you up? And was rugby still an important part?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I got another seven of the cream under the team. In fact, we challenged the depot and said, oh, well, we can't have you taken over the whole thing. But I got another seven onto the team. And it was really good.
Why rugby, if you see what I mean? Why not? I can understand why rugby rather, but what about cricket or, you know, No, I know, but they ask about rugby all the time. It seems to have been the culture. Was it just...
Well, it was just this officer had been asking for rugby players that I don't know, he didn't have much else to do with. In fact, I shouldn't think he had much experience at all about everything. So I watched their progress. I think we progressed quicker than they did.
They were being trained as well, presumably.
Well, they were observing. Yes, they weren't taking part. Of course, outside the depot, there were other camps with, you know, the depot was for initial training with the ballot box, but beyond that, there were all these huts where, and then after the first Christmas, when we came back.
You got leave at Christmas then?
No, I didn't. My friend did. It was going to stores. But that didn't worry me much. I'll tell you a little thing in a minute. But after, when we came back, it was leave about February, we went into a dance hall and we were just along the floor. And outside, they didn't let us use the facilities in there. Outside, there was a trough with taps, cold water, that's where you did your washing, and the snow was coming down, you were standing in this slush, and we used to march from the dance hall to somewhere else to get our food, and with our one hand behind our back, with our knife and fork and our can, and the kids used to snowball us as we were passing. Anyhow.
You were going to tell us something else. Why it didn't? Why it didn't matter?
Oh yes.
The leave.
I played rugby on the Saturday, and we went to church parade in our civilians, went to the minster, and came back. And when I came back, there was a gentleman asking for me, and he was a friend of this accountant uncle of mine. And they kept in touch since the First World War. And he was there to collect me. He said, "Do you have any friends you'd like to bring with you?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so." So we went to his house, and every Sunday he came to collect me. And we got to really go tuck in and, all day. And, you know, that broke it up. So that was great. But on a Friday, when we lined up for our and we found a nice cafe down in the town, ham and eggs, cup of tea, bread and butter, half a crown. So that was about 2 a.m.
What else would you do for recreation?
Whilst
you're at Beverley?
No. Well, they had one or two, they had a band there, and there were some off band concerts where you could go with the napkin and listen. But otherwise,
Did you drink much?
Not much. The beer was 3 halfpence a glass.
That was in the Naffy, was it?
Yes.
You didn't go to the town much?
Yes, oh yes, we did. It was called the Valiant Soldier, where we went and you made other friends. Actually, we didn't stay together as a camp, but you made other friends and just catch up. You obviously didn't want long beer because you had to get back and get up early next morning.